You're listening to the only podcast in the universe where clothing is optional, but pot is not. Broadcasting from FEMA Region 7, it's Bowl After Bowl with your hosts, Lorian and Spencer.
Welcome to Bowl After Bowl. Episode 343 going down live tonight on the 1st of October here in 2024. I'm Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City.
And I am Dame DeLorean.
And you're a bowler.
That's right. Welcome, bowler.
That's what we appreciate about you. Bowling around.
Auntie!
On-chain, on-chain, cocaine, chips, pain, on-chain, on-chain, go! Streaming sass, push the grounds, make they really wanna build a node.
Oh, yeah. Well, we hope that we've made you really wanna build a node, because we put out a nice little how-to video, so you no longer have any excuses. You no longer have any excuses. The only valid excuse you have now is... Spencer, I watched your video and I did everything in that video and it's not working. You suck. And you said this would be easy. So if that is your excuse why you have no node, please email that to me directly and I am happy to help you through the part that you fucked up. But if you haven't done that and that's not your excuse, then you are officially a lame and you need to build a node, okay? Build a node. It's the video's out there now. Video's out there.
You're on lame's notice.
On your own time, but you are. You are on a lame-o notice officially because the only thing I can get closer in the hand-holding sense is to come over directly to your house and stand over your shoulder and point to stuff and tell you what to do. We're sitting down in front of the screen. You're seeing the live screen grab of the whole walkthrough, what you do on your own computer to get things set up, what you do to install. We did Start 9 OS this time. We installed it on an Optiplex, which is just a small form factor PC. Most of these things install on a Raspberry Pi, which are actually cheaper if you can find them than most of these smaller PCs. Even the Pi 5, believe it or not. So your mileage may vary, but we go through all of this stuff, and I tried to explain all of it. There's probably too much explaining. I said that I wanted it really, really ultra short, right? Well, we had like almost 2 hours of video footage. And so I cut it down to under 17 minutes and I wanted it kind of in the 5 to 10 range. I did not get that. I think if I would have cut out a little bit of explaining that you can do this on more than just that computer, if I would have cut out all of the things about checksum, which we discussed last show, I could have gotten it probably a little tighter, but I kind of want to go for middle ground, right? Not the 1 hour droning along, right? There's no silence. There's no waiting around spot, right? I even got a couple SpongeBob 1 minute later things in there just to kind of move time along, just being like, okay, well, we waited for that to load. Now we're back right now. Like, there's no dead space.
I know. I told you you could have cut my parts too, but
no, that would have been
so kind to leave
that
me.
That would have been atrocious to cut your parts. You are like the, you know.
I'm the glue holding it together.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yeah. It's like if somebody handed me a sundae and they're like, you don't need the whipped cream and the cherry. Just eat the fucking ice cream. Excuse me. I had whipped. It'd be like if you had a whipped cream and a cherry and then you just like took it off before giving it to somebody. Like, well, you don't really need that. What? Yes, I fucking absolutely demand it. So yeah, your spot's in there.
Yep. That's right.
And we made it fun. It's not the funnest, of course, because it's a technical thing with computers. You're, you know, setting up a computer. But the awesome thing about it is after you do that and set up a Start 9, by the way, we're going to do an Umbral video. We're going to do a
Raspberry Blitz
is probably the next one. I'm going to get a Pi 5 and we're going to do an old school Raspi Blitz on a Raspberry Pi, like God intended, video next. Hey, there are options, right? And so don't get stuck in this like option lock, man. Like, just make one. And then the beautiful thing about a node is once you have one, you've got it and you can like take it around with you. You can actually, not a lot of people know this, but here's the difference between a protocol and a platform. If I make a Start9 node, I can migrate that over to the Raspi Blitz software stack. I can migrate that node over to the Umbral stack later on. The same node, okay? Because it's all just based upon these really basic Bitcoin principles in the background. And they're actually transferable. You're not locked in. It's not like, oh, for the next 10 years, I'm stuck doing this. Not necessarily, right? You can try things out. I heard some people worrying that like, oh, well, you know, we are going to be really busy, so I don't want to start in on this and then get to this weird spot where I can't work on it as much. Like, I don't want to make a commitment. I'm getting a lot of, in the DMs and the back channels, a lot of this, like, I'm afraid of commitment energy. But what you're doing is you're committing to not having a node again for longer, right? That's the commitment. And once you're on the other side, you'll see like how silly it was to drag your feet.
Yeah.
I promise you, set it up. You can stop. You can get lost in the sauce at any given step and pick it back up. Even if you're still syncing the blockchain and go, oh my, we had to just like run to my grandma's funeral, whatever happens, right? And the blockchain's not synced yet. And now I don't have access to that apartment anymore because we're moving across town and, you know, whatever excuse in the book, it really doesn't matter. Like, you'll be fine. You still just like wait, unplug the computer from the wall, go to where you need to go, plug it back into the wall, and continue. Mr. Cotton Gin, you may have heard of him, is currently resyncing his node. His node has been, I don't know where. I assume it's like in a phone drawer JCD uses, just like shoved somewhere. For how long has it been, Cotton Gin? Like a year? A long time is my point. Offline, in a box, wasn't syncing, wasn't running. Toons had the same spot. It's all good. You can come back later and resync it all up. And turns out everything's still in there. Longer, he says, longer than a year. So this idea that you have to like hover over it like it's a newborn child and get like, you know, be ready for it to cry and poop and you've got to change the diaper, that's not how a node works. It's just a computer, right? Imagine being this nervous about your new Dell laptop, right? Like, well, I would buy a new Dell laptop and get one running, but I've got some stuff coming up in November. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through it. It's just a computer. It's all good. Don't, please, I'm begging you, don't overthink it. It's like the number one thing people do is overthink it. No. Doesn't require much thought at all. It's all good. And then once you're done following that, you've got your own bank and payment processor.
Woo!
Yours that no one can fuck with. That is the end goal. That is the stuff that we want to get to. And the help along the way comes from all of us. Don't worry. If things start to look kind of weird and crazy, you don't know what's going on at this point, reach out. We love that kind of stuff. Come to the Bowl After Bowl chat over on IRC, irc.zeronode.net, channel Bowl After Bowl. Node operators are standing by all the time. That's no joke.
True. And whenever you're ready to build your node, if you're going with a Start 9 and you want to see the video, it is in the show notes for Bowl After Bowl episode 343. But you can also find it on any nude podcast app under, we've titled the feed V for V Bitcoin Lightning Tutorials. So that's what you will search. And then you will see the video, Build a Node, Start 9 Edition.
Yep. So check it out. If you get up and running, give it a boost from your new node. That would really honestly bring me tears of joy. As if we get like a bunch of boosts from new nodes coming in.
Yeah, that'd be magical.
Albi Hub boosts. I mean, you know, they make it pretty seamless. So that would be absolutely magical. That's the kind of energy we want put out there, is just regular tards running nodes, because despite what Darth Coyne might have told you, we do actually love regular tards running nodes. I can understand his frustration, because he lives on like Umbral forums and stuff. And so he's seen it all. He's seen a lot of people who have no business probably running nodes or Microsoft Outlook or pretty much anything, asking some heinously bad questions. We are the opposite energy here in the bowl. We love the worst questions, and we love, it's like a game for us. We like to try and solve your problem. Sometimes it's just that rush of trying to troubleshoot. Sometimes it's tough not being in the same room.
Definitely.
But we do what we can.
Yep.
We do what and we can. Got to build those nodes.
Bowlers are waiting to open channels to you.
That's right. That's right. Like we said in the video, you can follow this node, buildy instructional, right? You might invest in the equipment. You might just have some things laying around. Maybe the only thing you need to buy is a hard drive. Maybe. Just look around and take some inventory. If there's an x86 laptop laying around that you don't really use much, then throw a node on it. Buy a 2 terabyte external SSD and throw a node on it. And you don't have to go buy Bitcoin to receive.
That's right.
Now, obviously, to send other people Bitcoin, you've got to have Bitcoin. Otherwise, how are you going to send any?
Right? Yeah.
So that's a different consideration. But a lot of people, when they're first into node running, they're like, oh, now I need channels. Now I need Bitcoin on it. Now I need to fund my node. They says I need to fund it. Now I'm reading that, like, you got to have a million sat channel. Now I'm looking up how much a million sats is. Oh, that's far too much. I can't do, you know. Again, this is the overthinking trap. Our kind of target demo here is the average artist, podcaster, producer, somebody who wants to receive value. Even, hey, if it's a producer and you're making intro tunes and you want a 5-split from somebody else out there, right? And you've been using Albi for it, or you've been using some kind of placeholder tag for it, right? Or if you're in the Wavelake prison and you would like to get out onto your own stuff and keep all of the money people send you, which I think is pretty based goal to have if you're one of those people, then you don't have to invest any Bitcoin up front. You don't need any Bitcoin to start off. We can open channels to you that will allow you to receive the Bitcoin, right? And then you just sit back and wait, and people will eventually send you Bitcoin. And then months or maybe a year down the road, once you've done a year, give it a year, right?
Yeah.
Give it a year. See what you can pull in. And after that, you know, you might have some Bitcoin on your side of the channels. You can get it back on chain. You can learn a little bit more things. We can start opening channels. People get a brand new node and like they're just like, oh, I got to open channels now. I got to do it. And if you've got the corn to spare and you know what you're doing, then, you know, more power to you. Rocket man, let's go. But that's not kind of the person I'm trying to address concerns to. The person with concerns, and I say person, like it's not one person, right? Like I've heard a lot of murmurings, and it's this kind of thing of like, well, you know, I just can't right now buy that much Bitcoin. Where am I going to go? Don't worry about all that. Don't worry about all that. It's way, if you're worried, if you have any kind of worries, and there are a lot, okay, I understand. There's a lot of worrying that's valid. I don't happen to partake in it, but it's valid and I see it and I respect it. I respect the worry out there, okay? If you're worried about a lot of different things, the most worry-free way that you can acquire Bitcoin, which exchange, where do I go, I don't trust anybody with my credit card, just receive some sats for digital content.
Yep.
It is the least worrisome way to receive Bitcoin possible. That is my high recommendation, and it's part of why I want so passionately for people to be making nodes out there so they can do this. They can turn it on. So they can go, wow, in 2024, I turned a node on, and I really didn't know what the fuck it was all about, but this guy wouldn't shut the fuck up about it, so I just did it. And then I kind of forgot about it for a while. And I went back to it and holy shit, am I glad I did that. That, I hope, happens to multiple people. I hope it does.
Same.
I hope it does. Let's see. So that's the biggest news up front. I don't want to spend a bunch of time back here at the shit stain section because I did really soak it up last week. Let me go through just a couple.
Well, I wanted to say quickly, hand in hand with the building a node, we had, I think, a new record for Ring of Fire.
Oh, yes. Speed-wise. In terms of speed, we did just complete Ring of Fire number 20. And we organize Rings of Fire from time to time. So I'm glad you brought that up. We did just balance that today. And you say it's a record in time, which is probably funny to maybe guys like Dan from MMO, the Millennial Media Offensive, check him out, MMO.show, who was a member of this ring, who I asked before we even went out east if he wanted to be in a ring, right, for 2 million. So these these ring things, well, they're sure. Like, we're chatting with people. I'm aware I've got people on my radar that I know want into a ring eventually at certain levels. And so I'm always planning a ring, even if it's there's been no ring for 3 months. I'm still always planning at least one, probably multiple Rings of Fire. So we've done this several times on the shit stain. I'm going to try and do my most abbreviated version of it. Are you ready? It's going to go fucking too long. You've got to rein me in if this gets crazy.
Okay.
Ring of Fire. I'm going to TLDR it. What's a Ring of Fire? It is, in my opinion, to be thought of as a channel opening strategy. Right? That's it. It's a smart way to open channels on your node. Once you have the funds for one, you basically get a buy one channel or open one channel, get a second one free at no additional cost to you, and then we balance them. And how does it work? Just by working together and simple geometry, right? I always do a six-person Ring of Fire. So six nodes, node one opens to node two, opens to node three, all the way around the ring, back to six opening to one. And so whatever the capacity is, we just did 2 million as the capacity. So you open a 2 million sat channel, somebody else opens theirs to you, so you didn't pay for that one, right? They did. And then at the end, one person just has to send a payment for half all the way around the circle so it balances. I'm going to make a nice graphic that can really, because it's a very visual thing, this channel management liquidity nodes.
This sounds like a potential video
this
idea.
This is a potential video, and it's part of the spot we lose a lot of people, right? We finally get them to build a node, and then they get into the whole liquidity and channel management spot, and they just crap out. It's like nothing really clicks. And I think a lot of it is there's not a lot of visual explanation of this, and it's a very visual thing to wrap your mind around. What is a channel? Staring at ThunderHub for so long, it slowly came to me, but it did take a while. What really helped was that cheese graph we used to have. I can't remember. Adam had like a vanity URL that pointed to, that redirected to this lightning graph where you could see all the nodes and who was connected to what. The lightning map was like gopodcasting.org or something like that. It's broken now, and I don't think the bot is still in action, but that really started to click with me about connection and the whole network and everything. So I promise we'll do something really visual about channel management. But Rings of Fire, back to keeping this tight, right?
Yeah, please.
Rings of Fire, it's just a channel open strategy where you get to open one channel and you get two for the price of that one channel. And it's because we work together to do it that that extra one comes in free because we all join in as a group. It doesn't really put you in an entity of ongoing people who are in this weird little club with their nodes. It's just, it can be that, but it's too deep and complicated. That's not how we use it. We use it as a channel opening strategy only, and if that's the only thing that you take away from it, that's the only thing you need to. That's it. You want to get two channels for the price of one? Yes, you do. I only open channels in Rings of Fire except for when people ask, hey, I need liquidity to my node. And then I open the channel directly to them and I do not balance it. Keep it all on my side so they can receive the maximum receivable stuff, right?
Right.
Let it just trickle over them. I say, hey, I'm going to put you a fat channel here. That should this should get you through the rest of the year, man. Unless you're getting mad boosts, which is a great problem to have, because then I'll close it and open another one. Anyway, Rings of Fire, good job. I did want to say as the last part that I'm just checking my master rings sheet here because I'm put one together. I know it's weird. I'm like organizing certain things. As of today, we have now deployed 248 million sats plus to the Lightning Network through these Rings of Fire. So almost 2.5 Bitcoin worth of Lightning channels just from our little people here, man. Just from our little people. No big companies and bullshit. Yeah,
it just takes a small group.
Just regular plebs running nodes, man. That's what we do.
Hell yeah.
So kick ass. Thanks for bringing up the Ring of Fire.
Yes, on to the headlines.
Huge victory.
The shit stain.
I've only got a couple for you. I've only got a couple for you. One that came in last week on the wire here. Tornado Cash developer Roman Storm to face criminal trial. Judge rules. U.S. District Judge Catherine Faia. I don't know how to poke that Faia. Delivered an hour-long oral opinion stating that Tornado Cash developer Roman Storm must face charges of money laundering, operating unlicensed money transmitting businesses, and sanctions violations, rejecting his defense that he was prosecuted for writing code. This is not a great precedent.
Not at all.
This is not a great precedent. This is not like some kind of fintech guy, hacky boy, like helping the Russians, right?
Right.
This is not a money launderer. This is a programmer. And, you know, you should be able to just have privacy without committing crimes, right?
Yes.
The whole point of the burden of proof being on the state and the whole innocent until proven guilty in common law, right? Dating back to English common law. This whole concept is precisely for that, right? Like if somebody is private and keeps to themselves, or is suspicious as fuck, unless you have direct evidence of crimes being committed, just leave them alone.
Yeah.
Privacy should be obtainable, right? It's no longer even by the regular person. It's no longer even obtainable. And if we let it erode to this point, basically we're going to lose any reasonable expectation under the law of privacy, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy, and I don't like where this is going.
Yeah,
the judge denied Storm's motion to dismiss the charges, finding the DOJ's allegations credible. She noted that Tornado Cash operates similarly to other financial institutions and is not simply a charitable project due to its venture capital funding. Well, there's a problem, huh?
Mm.
There's a problem we didn't know about. The relayer feature, I don't know what that is, and the use of torn tokens as evidence. So two out of those three are understandable swing and misses for me, right? And maybe a cautionary tale of devs to come. VC money and shitcoins because you want to make a buck, right? Okay. All right. Probably fucking dumb move. And that's the problem, too. It happens on both sides, because now, you know, I want to viciously fight for your right to write code, because I believe it's a freedom of speech issue.
Yeah.
Frankly. So long as you're not maliciously enforcing that code onto other people's machines, right? If you're going to write code, and then you provide that code, and you say, hey, I wrote this code, you may install it on your machine. And use it as you wish, right? In a consensual way. Don't commit crimes with my code. But if you do, you're the criminal, right?
Yeah.
That is how it all should work at a base level. Okay. When you start bringing in VC goons, and when you start minting your own shitcoin, that puts friction on my ability to come and cheerlead for you. You see how that works? You see how when you get caught up in the greedy kind of fiat fag mind bullshit, how it becomes tougher to defend the important stuff, right? Because now it's overshadowed. Now it's like, It's like there's still something very important that we need to defend this concept here of code as freedom of speech. And maybe we can do another trial where we tar and feather you for the shitcoinery. Okay. So it's rough. I'm still on board with Roman Storm, but dude, you could have done without the VC capital layer grossness, my man. And maybe that should be its own discussion and we can kick this code part out and then just look at your potential actual crimes. Let me just read this tweet, whatever the fuck post. Amanda Tuminelli says she was live tweeting here. In the U.S. versus Storm hearing just now, the court rejected the arguments in Storm's motion to dismiss as a matter of law and heavily punted what she said were factual issues for trial. Quote, to the extent that Storm is asking me to decide a controverted issue of fact, I am not able to do that. So she's not going to do that until the actual trial begins, I guess. Like, she can only weigh in on so much before trial. She talked for an hour, Bowlers, so, you know, just for an oral argument. It is hard to decide what to be most offended by. This is Amanda speaking again. But here are some choices. One, quote, the court agrees with the government that control is not a necessary component of a 1960 offense. A control requirement is not in the statute, and this court is not going to read it in. That sounds scary to me, but I don't fully understand the implications there. Two, all of one sentence spent on the IEEPA charge. So this is kind of a bigger charge, but not really talked about in the oral argument. Here's another quote. Let me put this more simply. The government did not have to allege that Storm conspired with any users to promote or further illicit purposes. They did not have to allege he was aware of specific nature of or to be our participant in the underlying criminal activity. Instead, the government only needs to prove that Storm knew he was dealing with the proceeds of some crime. So any crime mixed in, this is kind of like the poison well theory, right? Like any criminal funds anywhere in there means they don't even have to prove that you were in on it, that you were encouraging it, only that you knew that some of that money was probably criminal in nature. I don't like that threshold, man.
No.
That is an incredibly poor threshold.
Imagine if they applied that to dollar bills.
For something that is a fake and gay non-crime that they call money laundering.
Yeah. That they do all the time. They the
government. We gotta make up extra crimes because we're so shitty at prosecuting the real ones that maybe this money laundering thing, we can define that, right? And then we'll just pick and choose like whack-a-mole who we grab with it. Meanwhile, we launder all of our money. Are you fucking crazy? Judges and politicians, are you? Come on. Last one. In the end, Storm's arguments do not sound in due process, but weigh in the evidence of his state of mind, which is a matter for the jury. So a lot of these things they were asking for in dismissal, according to the judge, needed to wait for trial in order to even be considered. So that's not great news all in all. It's not great, though, for software developers in general. It doesn't set a lot of great precedents. It's not how things should be, right? Well, we should have a reasonable freedom of speech, and software code is speech. If you just write it and present it for the world to either use or discard, that's speech. That's just speech, right? The moment, now, I'm not saying that you can get on people's machines and steal all their shit, right? All their data and all their money. That's a crime. You're breaching and breaking into other people's machines. But if your code is just code, is just a software program that anyone can run consensually on their own, and it's not doing anything to anyone else, then like the purpose of Tornado Cash was to erase the history of your transactions, right? Make it harder for people to look in and see where this money came from. That's all. That's all. And there should be, like, everybody should be, you know, generally wanting to do that more, right? Erase the transaction history a little bit more. I think that's just a reasonable everyday person. I don't think you need to have anything to hide in order to want that, right?
Yeah.
just like quit creeping on me, man. Oh, this makes it harder for them to creep on you. Perfect. I'm going to use that. Totally reasonable. I think a reasonable person would say, yeah, that's something that we should have.
Are the VC investors going to be prosecuted, or is it just this one programmer?
No way. Of course not. Of course not. They're investing in everyone.
Yeah, I know.
Except for
face any charges.
Bull after bull, because we told them to go suck it.
That's right.
BlackRock Bitcoin ETF demands 12-hour Bitcoin withdrawals from Coinbase. This was the story from the 23rd, which was just before the last bull. But I saw this being heavily discussed, including in our local Bitcoiners meetup, where Coinbase is now getting demands from these huge ETF funds saying if, because I guess Coinbase is a go-between slash custodial partner with these, a lot of these ETFs, right? Because the ETFs, they're all greenlit, they're all sanctioned and doing the right thing and regulated from butt cheek all the way up to the top of the skull. And so BlackRock and ETFs, according to Bloomberg's senior ETF analyst, you're going to love this one. BlackRock and ETFs have saved Bitcoin's price from the abyss repeatedly, according to them, right? According to them.
Excuse me.
They think they're in charge of, this is so fucking hilarious. They think they're in charge of the Bitcoin price now. They think that they've saved it from the brink, as though that's not a place we're trying to go, right? We don't want discounted sats. Are you fucking stupid? Of course they are. They're traditional financial bros. Okay.
Yeah, fiat fags.
The only thing that's really makes it hilarious rather than enraging, like normally I'd get enraged, but the traditional financial bro has such ultimate confidence with this kind of type of shit, with this shit right here, that they'll walk up to you with a cocktail in their hand and they'll just fucking say some absurd and outlandish statement like that one.
Yeah.
Like ETFs have saved Bitcoin's price from the abyss repeatedly. That's an actual quote from a guy who thinks he knows anything. But the confidence that they put behind it and the way they look you in the eye and give you a little head bob while they're saying it, like, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. I can't even get mad. I have to laugh, dude.
Yeah.
It's funny, dude. It's funny you see these guys, man, and you go, bro, do you even know what the UTXO is? My dog, do you understand any of the underlying protocols at all? Or is everything you know the Coinbase user interface?
Yeah, exactly.
And if it's not on Coinbase or your Trezor, then you don't even, you've never even seen Bitcoin outside of those two states. My dog, seek help.
Yeah. And they just live in USD pricing.
They think they fucking just know it all. They're like, yeah, I've got the inside track. And it's these guys that are like 8 years behind on the fucking all of the tech behind Bitcoin.
Zoomer boomers.
They think that Lightning is another coin. Like, dude, some of these guys are hilarious. So anyway, BlackRock wrote in this filing to the SEC, you know, no big deal, but they've just submitted, as of September 16th, a filing to the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, which included the following quote: subject to confirmation of the foregoing required minimum balance, Coinbase Custody shall process a withdrawal of digital assets from the custodial account to a public blockchain address within 12 hours of obtaining an instruction from client or client's authorized representatives. So it's funny because I'm not against BlackRock in this, right? But it is now going to put the pressure and the clamps on Coinbase in a way that they have never, ever had it before. And we can finally start to sniff these motherfuckers out. Have they been rehypothecating Bitcoin? We don't know. We have really no way of knowing. People post different, well, this is a wallet address. Well, this is a known wallet address. Well, this is the... We have really no way of fully knowing, though, if indeed Coinbase has been selling people Bitcoin in their user interface and then just kind of keeping not the full reserve. We don't know. We don't know. But now this extra pressure might start to smoke some of that hint out, right?
Mm.
So the the conflict has been that BlackRock ETF customers are buying paper Bitcoin for real and approved from BlackRock. BlackRock then buys the Bitcoin from Coinbase. And now BlackRock is stepping up and saying, hey, any ETF-related Bitcoin that we're buying, if we say send it to a fucking wallet, you've got to send it in 12 hours or fuck you, right?
Yeah.
Now, the hilarious thing about the Bitcoin protocol in and of itself is, you know, you can get the U.S. government to bully you, but there's no way to actually physically enforce this in the protocol, in the software.
Right.
Which is wonderful. However, Coinbase has the massive everything to lose in not playing ball. And if the SEC suggests that they do something and that it would be a good idea, they're going to just fucking do it, right? So this is pretty big. We'll see what happens with it. The Coinbase CEO did clarify investor concerns, because you can imagine this has been kind of hair on fire in the ETF / Bitcoin / financial bro world. So the CEO had to jump out there and keep people from burning down Coinbase's headquarters or whatever they were about to do. Coinbase CEO clarifies investor concerns over Coinbase's ETF custody practices. Despite the newfound institutional inflows from the ETFs, Bitcoin prices have been stagnating for the past 3 months. And everybody's like, why is this? If we thought that if we buy all the Bitcoin, then number will go up even more. There's a lot of reasons, but the main reason is like this network is so globally huge that even whales get lost in the sauce, right? Like there's always a bigger fish, but this is like the fucking ocean you're talking about, Bitcoin network, right? And there's dudes just sitting around laughing at all of this, by the way. Dudes that probably dudes that you make fun of for buying pizzas for gajillions of dollars on CNN are having a big fat laugh and are happy. They would probably, guys like that would probably do it again, right? Like Laszlo. Be like, totally. You know, I could, guys like Laszlo are probably like, you know, I could buy like 3 more of those pieces for the same fucking price.
Same price.
And eat it in front of you and laugh. Maybe I will someday. That's what those guys are thinking, I'm sure. If you want audits, this is in response to investor concerns. Brian Armstrong took to Twitter and said, if you want audits, Deloitte audits us annually. We're a public company. I doubt our institutional clients want people dusting all their addresses, and it's not our place to share for them. This is what it looks like if you want a bunch of institutional money to flow into Bitcoin. Let me read the full tweet because they just pulled the quote out of context. Baldy Locks here. That's what people call him, I guess. Baldy Locks. Is an oxymoron, but this moron is probably on Oxy, so in my mind, he's just doing Oxy all day and rehypothecating Bitcoin, and those are the only two things he does. His profile picture is an NFT. That's all you need to know about Brian Armstrong. Not sure what this is all about, TBH. All ETF mints and burns we process are ultimately settled on chain. Institutional clients have trade financing and OTC options before trades are settled on chain. This is the norm for all our institutional clients. All funds are settled in our prime vaults on chain within about one business day. If you want audits, we get audited every year, blah, blah, blah. As for CBBTC, that's Coinbase Bitcoin, I guess they have a... I don't know.
Token?
I guess. I guess it's wrapped or something. As for CBBTC, yes, you're trusting a centralized custodian to store the underlying BTC. We've never claimed otherwise. So... this is a big kerfuffle, kind of a dick swing contest, I think, is my sense, right? And really, Coinbase has the upper hand because they have the coin. He who has the private key calls the shots no matter what. What are you going to do? You're going to blow his head off with a Magnum 357? Well, you don't get the coin. Are you going to bully him incessantly? Well, you can garnish his wages, but you can't get the coin. The man has the coin. The man has the key. You would have to somehow steal the key. Maybe he stored it in a poor place. You'd have to steal the key from him. There's nothing else you can do to him in a protocol sense to get this coin. So a lot of people in a huff about 12 hours. So I want the coin in 12 hours. Whatever, man.
You were right. A CBBTC Coinbase wrapped Bitcoin, yeah. An ERC-20 token that's backed 1-to-1 by Bitcoin held by Coinbase.
Of course. It is Bitcoin according to Coinbase, who
at launch
just the most trustworthy guys. They're nice. They smile at me on video calls.
At launch, CBBTC will be supported on Base and Ethereum with plans to support more chains. Just wanted to throw that in there.
The ERC-20 tokens are all ETH. That's what that's what those are. Ethereum underneath the hood. So, yes, there's your two guys I don't want to win in a fight. Fighting. That's fun. And the beauty of, you know, us running our own nodes is none of this affects us whatsoever. Thank you.
Exactly.
Let's end on this one. Let's see how he will handle it. Let's see how he will deliver it. I frankly, sitting here right now, don't know yet. So we'll find out together. I saw this in Forbes today. Did you guys catch this? Forbes put out a story headline, "Musicians can now earn Bitcoin for streaming their songs." This is cool. Did you guys know this? Have you ever heard about this?
The wait is over.
It's like I've been waiting for a stream like this to come into my life. Well, Forbes tells me that musicians can now earn Bitcoin for streaming their songs. This is wonderful news to me. I had no idea. From singer-songwriters to hip-hop artists, musicians from across the world are now earning Satoshis, sats, fractions of a Bitcoin for streaming their music. You see where we are, people? That was the lead of a Forbes article. And I don't know how many times this poor bastard had to take this fucking thing to his editor, honestly. They still do editors, right? It's Forbes. They've got to have at least one supervising editor. I'm making an assumption. They might not. We might be in a post-editor society in journalism.
This was written by a Bitcoin Mag guy.
So it's just a reprint of a Bitcoin Mag rag. Bitcoin rag.
I don't know. It could be like a freelance gig he took.
We're calling it Forbes. Bitcoin rag.
Yeah. Guys, rag.
That's what we've always called it. In the lead, they have to triple explain it. Did you see how it went bing, bang, bong? From singer-songwriters to hip-hop artists, musicians from across the world are now earning Satoshis. And then in parentheses, they put sats. And then there's an M dash, and it says fractions of a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
This is where we're at, okay? This is how we have to explain it to a general audience, because the language is so new and getting carved out to where you say Satoshis. Whoa, what's that? Well, sats for short. Well, it's fractions of a Bitcoin. Huh? What is all this? And I'm not making fun of the person who doesn't get it. I don't want it to sound that way. It's just like, this is where we are, right? Like, we're in a whole new world. We're in an on-chain, off-chain cocaine shit stain deep.
Yes.
And you can tell. What do I want to say on this? Well, I certainly have taken
read the whole thing.
Too much time. Oh, I'm supposed to read the whole thing, huh?
Why not? Okay, you already started.
Well, many of these artists are actually earning more in Bitcoin by sharing their songs through platforms like Wavelake and Fountain than they are in traditional currencies for streaming their music through digital streaming platforms, DSPs. See, there's one for me. Like, I got the sats one, but I would have had some questions about DSPs, dude. I would have said, yeah, get your DSP away from me, bro. I've not even had a single whiskey tonight. I'm not going to trick me again with a DSP, like Spotify and Apple Music. So Ainsley tells the story she's told on many shows and all the place. She's got her thing. You know, she does the round. She's got the story. The story now is updated numbers because they keep going up. But it's basically in 5 years on the DSPs, whew. What's that like? I bet you need a chiropractor after 5 years on a DSP. I've made only $750 in streaming royalties from over half a million streams.
Oof.
In 1 year distributing to the Valueverse, everybody has their own language and the Valueverse thing they're really going for. I received over 21 million Satoshis, equivalent to $13,278.72 USD as of September 23rd, 2024. I would have stopped at the 20 million sats.
Right, hey, yeah.
20 million sats, it's a flashy number. It's cool. Number. Now, I get that the USD impact is great because it's a direct comparison to the 750, right? The 750 sucks. 13 grand, good. Okay.
Okay, but you had $750 versus $21 million, which is better.
$750 versus 21 million sats. And then you have to figure out which one's better. Hey, that'd be a great college asshole on the street. Would you rather me give you $750 or 21 million sats? Yo, I can get $750 right now. Bet. Bet.
And there's an ad for a new single.
Change Your Mind. They put her tweet for Change Your Mind. Convince me. I'm not just going to do it because you told me to. Silly. Silly little one. Change my mind. Come on. I do it all the time, but I do it. Okay. You're not going to change it for me. The value first, also referred to as the value for value, another parenthesis explainer V4V space. This article is a mess with these parens. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
Just fucking.
If you can't write it out.
Your Forbes. Don't do the don't do abrevs.
Yeah.
Just cut them all out. Don't paren abrevs. Like, just keep it straight, dude. Just say value for value every time. You're a formal news source, right? Like, just follow it. Costello mentioned the value verse, also referred to as the value for value space. Costello mentioned refers to the suite of platforms. God, that's clumsily written. Including
and inaccurate.
Including the aforementioned Wavelake and Fountain that allow users to... Oh, I can't even say it.
It hurts so bad.
I'm just kidding. I don't give a fuck. Tip musicians, podcasters, and other content creators for their work and sets. Now, Adam's the one that has a problem with tip.
Just the tip.
Adam's the one that has a problem with tip. I talked about this already too much in an old... Misinformed Nation. You can go find it there. It's not even that interesting of a rant, other than I've worked for tips. I've made hella money in tips. I've seen bitches make two nights of tips and go buy a car with it. I've seen this in my own life. Okay. So the people who say that the word tips devalues whatever, that's not always the case. I can think of plenty of times where that is not the case.
But it's just value, though.
It's just another word, and we're already using 100 different words, yeah. And we added value verse to the string of words. We're using DMU. Like, there's words, right? So there's going to be even more words. Fuck it. Like, who gives a shit? Some people call it a tip. You know what a tip is, right, when you hear it? Tip. Oh, yep. I give you money.
Just okay. The tip.
Tip. And it's short to say, and you don't need to put a parenthesis Friends. After it explaining what tip means, because everybody already knows what the fuck it means. Anyway. More and more musicians globally are beginning to experience the financial benefits that come with sharing their songs in the V4V space. Ooh, I can see Lorian's way more upset than me.
Yeah, I'm just not going to say anything. My mic sounds like shit anyway. You can skip down. They do ads for artists.
There's a lot of ads in this Forbes.
Because Forbes, it's strategic communications.
It's not just ads for the... musicians involved. I would hope there's some links to their shit. I'm not even upset about that, but like CBD gummies and shoes, and I'm being sold a whole manner of things.
Yeah, I mean, you're scrolling by ads.
It's it's really kind of the whole article, if you look at it in a meta step back way, it's kind of a, this is why we don't fucking talk to Forbes. So what else do they talk about? Oh, they mentioned Quex. Man like yeah. Quex.
Scroll by all the artists they're going to mention, because they'll give you what, a top three?
Earned
Here's
a total
three
of...
artists you can look up on a platform.
Well, I think it's interesting. He has a similar story. He earned $25 from a distribution company he uses for traditional DSPs, for which he pays a $60 annual fee, by the way. So he pays a $60 annual fee to get $25.
Not worth it.
While he's earned 2.3 million sats from Wavelake alone, right? Which means that he's also worked them 230,000 sats, right? We know the breakdowns of all of this, which isn't to say that's wrong, but it is important to point out that we can't prove that, right? Because 100% goes to them, and then they cut it up in the back room where nobody can see. Joe Martin, they talk about Noster.
That subtitle right there, this I thought was interesting. That's not the right term for it.
Noster plus V4V platforms. Again, this fucking platform thing. Okay, the underlying RSS protocol is what's important, and Noster is another such protocol. And so this whole platform language, everybody keeps talking about the great platforms. They gave me a platform. I have this platform. It's not a fucking platform. It's the opposite. It is the escape from needing a platform. I don't need a Mark Zuckerberg to go to. Do you understand? I don't need a Michael Riri. I don't need a Sam Meanswell to give me my money, right? I can do it myself. You can do it yourself. Everybody can do it their self. You don't need these music industry goons anymore.
Exactly.
And everybody's like falling over themselves. Like, oh, these guys are, they have music industry experience. Hello?
Yeah. Legacy industry. Great.
Red fucking flag, dog. No, that's great. It means they know how to navigate. No, not great. Not great. I would rather have the guy playing guitar on the sidewalk. He gets it.
Yes.
He gets it. If you would have said, oh, this guy's great because he's spent the last 30 years playing guitar on a sidewalk with a hat by his feet, that's the guy I'm going to say, well, then you have a good understanding of what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
If there's a guy coming from the music industry, the fucking machine, are you kidding me? Then this is the best you're going to get.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
After all, it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction after all.
Do you understand what I mean by that? Do you understand what it, like, if you get raped gently, is that better? This is something you really need to look inside and think deeply about, because I've been thinking about this very question every day of my life for the last 4 years. There's not a day that goes by where I don't consider this type of thing, right? It is core to what I'm working for in the future. And so I think about this constantly.
Please let me comment on the subtext there, whatever you call that little header. Noster plus V for V platforms. This is where it should say Noster plus podcasting 2.0. I don't know what the fuck a V for V platform is. I'm someone who lives a value for value lifestyle, and I've never heard this terminology before, V for V platform.
Control F on the page for podcasting returns zero results.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like Noster is a protocol. Podcasting 2.0 is a protocol. That's how it works. Value for value is, I don't want to use the word lifestyle again, but it's just like an ethos. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of accepting that you can't put a number on everything. It goes beyond money in any form, whether it's sats or dollar bills or change in the hat on the guy that's busking on the sidewalk. Like, it's very frustrating. And this is the correspondent's fault. For not researching and learning anything, for just running a press release, an ad, doing StratCom.
Yeah, it's more journalism as we know it. This is the state of journalism forever now. It's never going to get better. It's only going to stay exactly this way because they don't know. They just are stuck in this fucking model that's dying, and it's been dying since I was a freshman at the self-proclaimed best journalism school in the whole world. Easily, provably the first one. The best one is up for some debate, but yeah, they were openly telling us then that this is all dying out, that journalism is dying and you're getting into a dying industry. And then they couldn't imagine why I dropped out of college. So anyway, let me just read the last little, we probably could have just gone through and read each bold subheadline, but the last subhead is getting started with Wavelake, Fountain, and Noster. Because you want to, I guess you want to just get started with all three, right?
No.
Can you imagine, do you understand how futile purple pilling is? Do you understand why it's just turns into this awful kind of shit right here? Do you understand why my strategy has been to tell people to build a node and that strategy has not changed throughout any of the turmoil? Many people have to write their onboarding pitch. First of all, many people have an onboarding pitch. Many people have to rewrite that thing every 3 months. Not me. Not me, because I know the actual long-term solution, which is build a node. And then when you're talking about your music, bro, when you're talking about your music, that should be, if I make a song, all right, I'm an artist. I'm thinking of having that be my career, right? So when I make a song, when I make my first album, it's the first album that I make. And when I put it out, it will always, until far after I die, be the first album by my band, right? So what do I want to do? I want to set up some kind of permanent solution for that. I don't want to have like some company be in charge of it. And then I've got like, well, there's this 5-year agreement. And then after that, and 8 years after that, I can do this and this with it. And then after that, dude, please, my brothers in Christ, we've got to get away from this whole industrial capture thing. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't need Johnny Mauschkowitz coming over and running your shit and taking a fucking bite off of it, right? Because he can change the rules, and you already admitted by working with him that you're too dumb to figure it out, right? Like, that's kind of what you're saying out loud to these industry goons. And that's why the only people allowed to get mega big in this world are the people who are very good boys and girls, right? Even the bad ones who are good at being bad, like Mr. Diddy, right? They are playing the bad guy by the rules and the book still. And they're like letting everybody in and keeping their secrets and doing a little thing for them, right? We are not interested in any of that. We are interested in being pure of heart. We are interested in wholesome collaboration. We are interested in honesty and the truth. And a good time, just a good time, and not being told what to do and when to do it. That's all. We're interested in owning our own art in perpetuity forever and allowing people to interact with us on a consensual basis without any people coming in and managing us and taking money for it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, anyone outside of our sphere who reads that article is going to think they have two options.
Oh, three. Wave and, Lake, Fountain, and Noster.
No, they mention the RSS feed and they talk about instead of...
Of course. Well, yes, I read the article, but I'm not talking about that. You know, most people won't even get to the fifth subhead bold. They're just reading...
They probably can't even get past the lead because there's so many abbreviations.
There's a lot going on. They said Satoshis and Sats and fractions. I'm having a meltdown right now. I just need a little bit of relief, honestly.
We now conclude our scheduled broadcasts for today. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to be with us again tomorrow. Good night.